It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
I'm here. Hold on. I need a drink of water. All right. Welcome in. Football Friday edition of Cole & Company underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. It is November 10 of 2023. And like usual on a Friday, a lot to get to, details forthcoming. Hope your day is treating you well. I hope you have an outstanding weekend on tap. And first things first, thanks so much for your attendance. You can attend in a number of fashions, 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at Real Cole Bear. And like the Facebook page, if you're on the Zuck machine, you'll get more local and statewide sports content into that Facebook feed. If you type in 1650 The Fan, you'll find it. And then just hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Bookmark the website while you're at it, 1650thefan.com. That is where so much of that local, statewide, and even national sports content originates. There's also audio on demand, the podcast of this show, today's Waterloo Blackhawks weekend preview, a whole lot to consume there. Make it a regular stop, a daily stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. Yes, speaking of the Waterloo Blackhawks, the Hawks skate at Tri-City both tonight and tomorrow, and pregame coverage will begin at 6:45. This evening, so look forward to that. As far as what we're going to get into here on the show, well, first, let me give you the email address. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call. Email me questions, comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about. Email address, cole@1650thefan.com. You can dial the show up, add any questions or comments to the program as you see fit. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. 1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. All right, the agenda. We'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we will take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back in the second segment, and a colleague of mine, Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join the show. Rob does an outstanding job covering Iowa State football, men's and women's basketball, and we're going to talk about Iowa State football's game tomorrow night, a late game tomorrow night in Provo at BYU. Just the second time that these two teams will have faced one another in program histories, and the first time they will have faced one another as Big 12 foes, and that's going to be a late game tomorrow night over on Cruisin' KCFI. I'll have the details here in just a little bit, so stick around for those if you're going to be tuning into that game. Also, Iowa State men's basketball, another dominant win last night, albeit not against a great team. That's non-conference basketball for most when you play in the Big 12 and you're not compelled to play a tough non-conference schedule. But in terms of what you could ask for through two games so far for this Iowa State men's basketball team, considering the opponents, I mean, check pretty much every box. I mean, TJ Otzelberger, I'm sure he's got some things that he looks at the film and he goes, well, we got to get better here. We got to get better there. I thought the Cyclones looked damn good again last night. I even texted the coach, Kevin Lehman, during that game. And I said, man, I know you are on your way to Puerto Rico to call the Paradise Jam. But I said, you better watch this game, whether you're watching it right now or you watch it back in your hotel or on the phone or your iPad on the beach. Clones look good. And I mean, the Big 12 is as tough as it gets as far as a conference schedule. But like I mentioned, just in terms of what you could ask for through two games against not very good opponents, man, Iowa State's look good. And I'm sure part of it is just like you feel a little extra something given how many rock fights you've had to watch the last, you know, especially last season or even the last two seasons when TJ Otzelberger's rosters have been somewhat offensively challenged. That sure doesn't look like it's the case with this team. And the defense still looks like it's there. Albeit, if there's one thing to really kind of raise an eyebrow at early against these inferior opponents, it's, okay, can the defense really be that good when you start playing teams that are actually good? But so far, man, wow. Just very impressed. Really, frankly, like blown away just how good Iowa State has been through these first two games. And you heard that game last night right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. I'll give you the details in case you missed it last night coming up here during area sports news and scores. And, of course, like I was getting at there before I got up on the soapbox, Rob Gray of the Gazette will talk Iowa State football and Iowa State men's basketball when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. Make sure you're following Rob on X at Rob W. Gray. After we're done there, we will take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side in break number three, and on a football Friday, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join the show. You can follow him on X at Logan underscore Blackman and get that podcast on Apple and Spotify. We'll talk about it all, like we usually do with Logan. Week 11 of the college football season, week 10 of the NFL season, which began last night with my Chicago Bears getting a 16-13 win over the Carolina Panthers. Here we come. Yeah, not. I'm proud of myself for trying to say that or saying that very sarcastic line with a straight face, but man, the Bears are not good, and the Panthers stink. That's my expert analysis coming out of that game last night. That's some like kind of promising things right now with the Bears, but I don't know, man. I really don't. We'll talk a little bit like we usually do with Logan about, like I said, what's week 10 of the NFL season, and we'll make our picks of the weekend. I got to say, not in love with the board this weekend. Usually it's not too difficult for me to be like, I like that game. I like that line. I like this game. That's a good, yeah, I like that line. And yeah, I like that game. And I like that line. Nothing I feel great about. I think last week I finally went to a losing week, 1-2, instead of, I had ripped off a number of 2-1 weeks. If you were taking my picks, you would know. It would be showing up in your account right now on your app. But maybe now's not the time to fade me when I don't have confidence and to actually take my picks, because I do have three down here. But I will say my confidence meter is a little, it's decently lower than usual. And we'll see what Logan Blackman has to say about it. I'm curious to see if he looked at the board this weekend and goes and had the same feeling I did, where you go, nothing's really jumping out at me. So let me know. If you got any good picks or got any thoughts on the football weekend ahead, 319-277-1918, 800-913-9479, or send me an email, Cole at 1650thefan.com. After we're done with Logan, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Football Friday and wrap up the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores. In case you missed it, yesterday in the high school state football playoffs, semifinal action in Class A, West Hancock overpowered Madrid 39-14, and Woodbury Central downed East Buchanan 28-20. In 4A semifinals, Lewis Central defeated North Polk 31-5, and Western Dubuque defeated Bondurant Farrar 28-21. Class 1A and 5A playoff football semifinals taking place at the Unidome today. This morning, you heard it right here on The Fan, Grundy Center defeated Waterloo Columbus Catholic 42-7. Spartans quarterback Colin Gordon threw for two touchdowns, ran for two more in the Spartans' win. The Sailors were making their first appearance at the Unidome since 2004, finished their season 9-3. Grundy Center advances to the 1A championship game next Thursday at 4, where it will take on MFL Marmac, who defeated Underwood 41-28 this afternoon. Currently in Class 5A, West Des Moines Valley is taking on Southeast Polk. A quick check on the live stats here. Southeast Polk holding on to a 7-0 lead. And this looks like at least midway or past midway of the second quarter. The Rams leading the Tigers. Later tonight, it's the Ankeny Bowl. 7 o'clock kick, permitting on how quickly this current game wraps up. Ankeny Centennial set to take on rival Ankeny. As I mentioned, the Iowa State men's basketball team cruised to a win last night, 102-47 against Lindenwood at Hilton Coliseum. You heard it right here on The Fan. Clones now 2-0 this season. Iowa State shot 64% in the first half. Taman Lipsey led Iowa State with 21 points. Iowa State plays again Sunday. You'll hear it right here on The Fan when they play host to Idaho State. Pregame coverage begins at 11 Sunday morning, tip-off at noon. Last night in women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark had 44 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists as third-ranked Iowa pulled away late from number 8 Virginia Tech for an 80-76 win. Last night's game was played at a neutral site in Charlotte, North Carolina. Clark finished just shy of her career best of 46 points, which she had against Michigan in 2022. Hannah Stolke added 12. Sydney Falter had 14 rebounds. Iowa now 2-0. The UNI volleyball team has a chance to clinch the Missouri Valley Conference regular season championship this weekend. The Panthers play their final road trip of the regular season. They're at Illinois-Chicago right now. That game happening on 106.5 Corn Country. And then the Panthers are at Valpo tomorrow. UNI is 15-0 in the Valley on a 16-match winning streak. And in other college volleyball tonight, Iowa State plays host to number 14 Kansas. Iowa has a home match against Illinois. The Iowa men's basketball team plays host to Alabama State tonight for a non-conference matchup. The Hawkeyes opened their season with a 110-68 win over North Dakota on Tuesday. Iowa has won 84 of its last 90 non-conference home games dating back to 2012. Tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena is at 7 tonight. The UNI football team looks to get its fourth straight win at Missouri State tomorrow. The Panthers are tied for second in the Missouri Valley Football Conference at 5-1. The Panthers are 6-3 overall. Expect the ball to be up in the air a lot tomorrow. The game features the top two passing offenses in the MVFC. You can hear the pregame coverage on 93.5 The Mix beginning at 1, kickoff at 2. The Iowa football team plays host to Rutgers tomorrow. At 4-2, Iowa leads the Big Ten West with 3 weeks remaining in the regular season. Tomorrow's game is the fourth all-time meeting between the two programs. The Hawks are 3-0 against the Scarlet Knights. Game time is at 2:30 tomorrow. And the Iowa State football team plays at Big 12 newcomer BYU tomorrow night. Both teams are 5-4. Cyclones 4-2 in the Big 12. BYU just 2-4. Clones looking to bounce back following a loss at home to Kansas last week. Pre-game coverage begins on Cruisin' KCFI at 7:15 tomorrow night. Kickoff at 9:15. And finally, Iowa State's Chase Contreras and Iowa's Drew Stevens have both been selected as two of 20 semifinalists for the Lou Groza Award, presented annually to the nation's top kicker. Contreras is 17-21 in field goal attempts this season and has made his last 10. He's also a perfect 21-21 on PATs. Stevens has made 14 of 18 field goal attempts, and 30 of his 40 kickoffs have gone for touchbacks. All right. And, finally, the Waterloo Blackhawks on the road tonight, beginning a pair of games this weekend at Tri-City. Hawks coming off a successful homestand, having won 4 of 5 games. And pregame coverage begins at 6:45 tonight, opening faceoff at 7:05. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Iowa State football, Iowa State men's basketball. Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins. That's next right here on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Breaking news from college football as the Big Ten Conference and Commissioner Tony Petitti suspended Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh for their final 3 regular season games because of the alleged sign-stealing system within the football program. Harbaugh will be allowed to attend practices and meetings during the week. However, he's slated to miss games against Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State. In a statement, Michigan was critical of Petitti's decision, saying they were dismayed at the commissioner's, quote, rush to judgment, end quote, as they continue to cooperate with the ongoing NCAA investigation. Michigan also stated in that statement they will seek a temporary restraining order today in hopes that Harbaugh could coach tomorrow against the Nittany Lions. In the NFL, Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins has been ruled out against the Texans. Cincinnati will also be without defensive end Sam Hubbard, while wide receiver Jamar Chase is questionable. Lakers forward Anthony Davis has been upgraded to probable for tonight's game against the Suns.
Not in the car? Not a problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Your season ticket to every football game is at Dad's Pub. Every game, every time. NFL, Iowa, Iowa State, and you and I. We have them all in a fun environment with great fans. I'm Jordan Headington, owner of Dad's Pub. Cheer on your gridiron favorites and enjoy $18 domestic beer buckets. During you and I, Iowa State, and Iowa games, get $2 fireballs when they score a touchdown. Daily specials Monday through Wednesday, plus 3 to 6 Thursday and Friday, will buy your second drink. The best seats in the house are at Dad's Pub on LaPorte Road, south of Mitchell and Waterloo.
Every day, First Bank is dedicated to improving our communities by supporting ag operations, local businesses, and generations of families, and by actively engaging in charitable events that uplift our community.
Our investments are in our communities, for small businesses to generational farmers. We support our local schools, organizations, and nonprofits. We invite you to be part of First Bank.
Together, we can build a stronger tomorrow.
Visit firstiowa.bank, member FDIC.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Iowa State a 34-point home favorite against Lindenwood today at the Hilton Coliseum. The total 133 in college basketball action. College football Saturday, the Iowa Hawkeyes in action as a 2-point favorite at home against Rutgers. Iowa has allowed just one touchdown in the last 12 quarters. Iowa State in action at BYU. Cyclones, 6.5-point favorites against the Cougars, 41.5 the total. NFL tonight, the Chicago Bears, 3.5-point home favorites against the Carolina Panthers. The total 38 at Chicago's Soldier Field. Justin Fields unlikely to play for the Bears. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 29 tonight under partly cloudy skies, easterly winds at around 5 miles an hour. Highs around 50 tomorrow, overcast. Overcast skies tomorrow night, lows around 37. Turning warmer Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 50s. Another look at the short range, we should dip down to around 29 tonight. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 39.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
And Kelderman clears. Now Iowa State can just dribble out the clock, and they will do just that. It's an impressive showing for the Cyclones. They win it 102-47 over Lindenwood to improve to 2-0 on this young season. Cyclones win it by 55.
Yeah, just a good old-fashioned butt-whooping last night at Hilton Coliseum as Iowa State defeated Lindenwood 102-47. And as I was talking about at the start of the show, albeit against inferior opponents, it's hard to say you could have asked for much more from T.J. Altzelberger's team through these first two games. And to talk about that and to talk about Iowa State football at BYU tomorrow night, we are now joined by my colleague Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Rob, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Well, always a pleasure, Cole, and I'm doing okay. With my daughter to have some senior pictures taken today. Enjoyed a bright sunny day outside and hunkered down and ready for a lot of things. Late night West Coast, west side of the country football tomorrow night, and obviously all the hoops and wrestling in full swing.
Yeah, everything going on right now. It's that time of the year, and playing the highlight of John Walter's final call of last night's 102-47 win for T.J. Altzelberger's team against Lindenwood. Rob, as I was pointing out there, inferior opponents in Green Bay and Lindenwood these first two games of the season. But in terms of, all right, yeah, we should beat these teams, but how do we beat these teams? I mean, could you have really asked for much more given everything that's been demonstrated by Coach Altzelberger's squad through these two wins?
No, and I mean, coming into the season, you know, we saw the skilled additions in Keyshawn Gilbert from UNLV, you know, from the transfer portal, and him, Curtis Jones from Buffalo, Jackson Pavelecki, freshman of the year for Wofford in the conference that they play in last year, and then you bring a top 10 recruiting class with Omaha Blue and Milan Momcilovic, among Kalani High Hamilton, who will redshirt. I mean, it's set up for them to get out to a fast start. I mean, you say, you know, teams they should beat. I mean, these teams are way, 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 way down the chart. I mean, if you look at KenPom, Lindenwood was near the bottom. They did not improve their standing. And the same could be said, obviously, you know, for Green Bay. And, you know, slight improvement with Idaho State, I guess, Sunday afternoon. They're in the low 200s, meaning near 300. But to beat these teams like a drum, that's new with TJ's head coach. I mean, Because the team's been so offensively challenged the previous two seasons, which, again, ended in a Sweet 16 appearance and a disappointing first-round loss to Pitt, but still a good season in last year. That's what you want to see from a team that's supposed to be considerably better offensively. I mean, the Cyclones went through one stretch in the first half last night that was, I don't want to say borderline shocking, because Lindenwood really didn't have much. But they were outscored. They were up 20-4, and they were then up 28-20. I mean, and then they just shut them down. They were, doubled up the score at halftime, 13-0 run down the half, and came out of the break and did what they were supposed to do. But it's good to get challenged that way, to go through a stretch where they're a little bit out of sorts against a vastly inferior team. While you know, it's not a stacked non-conference. I think on purpose, and TJ alluded to it this year, with the Big 12 being, you know, metrically ranked by a wide margin, a pretty wide margin, the best conference in the country at least a couple years in a row. You had the likes of Houston and Cincinnati, maybe not as great lately, but it's only getting better. So your net and all of that is going to be sterling in conference play.
Yeah, that net ranking, no doubt, will end up being a pretty number when it's all said and done, even if Iowa State maybe only wins something like 20 games. But, Rob, it sure looks like this is a team ticketed for above 20 wins this season, as tough as the Big 12 will be, like you point out once again. You mentioned the freshman, Milan Momcilovic, and I had Kyle Green on the show a couple weeks ago, and for as much, understandably so, as people have talked about Omaha Ballou, he said, you know, the last couple, 3 weeks in practice, Milan's just really taken off. He's played his best basketball since he got here early in the summer, and next thing you know, he's in the starting lineup. Next thing you know, six threes on opening night on Monday, 18 points. I think it was 17 points last night. And, Rob, I think we both watched enough basketball that, man, he just looks really comfortable out there for a true freshman. Some of the shots he's making, the turnaround 15-footer with the fadeaway as a contested shot, he very quickly established himself as, who knows where this ends, but he's not your normal freshman.
No, he's not. I mean, TJ called him a quote, very complete player, unquote, after week one. And it's not as if you hadn't been singing his praises before that. I mean, there's a young man who came in ready to play from day one. And you see it in the way he shoots the ball. I mean, the 6 of 7 from threes in the opener against Green Bay, it's something like 3 of 7, still pretty solid in week two. But then you see that, and as a longtime Boston Celtics fan who had to watch them lose to the Timberwolves with my son Monday night in person, just a little bit reminiscent of Larry Bird, that little bit of a step back and that fadeaway, and the way he releases it too, a little bit to the side, and again, high release, quick release. It's going to be very difficult to block his shot from beyond the three-point line and on those fadeaways. And I think he's better than, when asked to do so, I think he's better than maybe people might think with his back to the basket. Yeah, completely game-ready in terms of his offensive skills, solid on the defensive end. Omaha, of course, McDonald's All-American, top 10 recruit. I mean, he's got the athleticism, he's got the work ethic, he's got the whole package. But it's still a little bit harder when you don't have that consistent shot going to make an immediate impact. I mean, he's making hustle plays. He had a really big dunk last night. You know, you see flashes of what he can be.
Yeah.
But Momcilovic is already, you know, he's already there. I mean, so, yeah, that's obviously very exciting for Coach Otzelberger and, of course, the Cyclone fans. A
couple other guys that have stuck out to me in the early going, Trey King and Keyshawn Gilbert, for a number of reasons. I think Trey King is the type of guy that nobody's going to confuse for the most talented on the floor, but no coach would say no to having Trey King on their team, given all the different things that he brings on a given night when he's playing his best basketball. And then with Keyshawn Gilbert, I think as important as it is that he brings, you know, dribble penetration, the ability to shoot from the perimeter, it's also shown early on, Rob, for me, that his presence out there is making Taman Lipsey a more dynamic player as well. So that's, like I said, for a number of reasons, that's why Trey and Keyshawn have stuck out to me.
Yeah, I mean, Trey, I mean, with TJ, I mean, talk about a lofty goal, given Trey's about 6'7", and this is going to be his first full season at Iowa State and last. Said he thinks he challenged him to lead the Big 12 in rebounding. Well, he's been pretty good against, again, that very inferior competition, but you see his tenacity. He's a good passer from down there. I think he can shoot it better from at the perimeter, at least mid-range, than people think. He said he's worked on that a lot. But, you know, a lot of what Otzelberger's teams want to epitomize, which is that, you know, mean, almost defensive mindset to disrupt and to force teams to turn themselves over, to basically make them want to almost give up trying to run their offense. You see that in him, but seeing a lot of those guys. That's what TJ and his staff have recruited to. And, Trey King, 7, I think a team high 7 rebounds, and second with 4 steals. 19 steals in that game. That's the most they've had in at least 27 years, wow. By the way, a little trivia. And Curtis Jones had 5. But I think what you said about Keyshawn Gilbert, that guy has more energy than I've seen in a long time. I mean, he was all over the floor, and I mean sliding on the floor, getting, you know, raspberry, strawberries, what do you want to call them, on his elbow, trying to get a loose ball in a first half, where they're up like 14 points on the Lindenwood Lions, you know, we ranked 355 in out of 362 in KenPom. So that tells me what type of Keyshawn Gilbert, again, a guy who TJ originally recruited to UNLV, so that relationship is already established before, you know, plucking him from the transfer portal. And again, as he said, he can shoot it from three. He's really good at getting it to the rack, and he distributes very well too. Another complete player that, yeah, Taman Lipsey's career high 21 points in less than 23 minutes last night, shooting it with confidence in part because there's more room and there are other guys who can hit, and that's always going to help you establish a better rhythm as a player on the offensive end.
Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Friday edition of Cole and Company. Rob, let's shift gears. Let's talk Iowa State football. Quickly looking back at the near comeback against Kansas at Jack Trice last Saturday night, 28-21, the final in that one. I mean, go figure, in a game as dramatic as that, there is some controversy in terms of some calls from the officials, you know, most notably Jalen Noel's kick return that, of course, shouldn't have been whistled out of bounds, say what you will. But, you know, Iowa State made some mistakes in that game. They come up just short against a really good Kansas team. What's that tell you? You know, thinking about the Kansas game, thinking about all the other positive wins over the past month plus, where do you think this team is right now?
Yeah, I think I think the bye came at a bad time. I mean, you call it being idle bye, whatever. I know now all of a sudden people are trying to not call it a bye. We're all going to agree that we call it a bye week. Because they were playing such good football. And yep. They come out, gets Baylor, they play okay, you know, and they win by double digits on the road. And Kansas, they played, I think, a little bit better than okay, but the mistakes were heightened. And then, as you said, Jalen Noel, your first and goal at the one or the two versus first and 10 at the 31, and they failed to score on that drive. I think they turned it over on downs.
Yep.
In a 7-point game, you throw a pick six in that game, again, in a one-touchdown game. And yet the difference in that game was an old, good Kansas team versus a young, up-and-coming, pretty good Iowa State team, maybe good Iowa State team. I don't think the talent differential was big. I think Kansas was brilliant in this game plan. With Jeremiah Cooper out, they attacked that area of the field that he would cover. And for whatever reason, Miles Purchase, the bookend corner to lockdown corner, TJ Tampa, he didn't play the entire first quarter. They attacked that a little bit. Kansas usually runs the ball really, really well, didn't in that game, but they attacked what was available and got them the lead along with the pick six. And Iowa State, again, I think was able to come back because he converted some third and longs, which doesn't always happen that much, but also the defense really tightened up, and now the job allowed Devin Neal and the Kansas running backs to get going that way. So, I mean, you know, I don't think it's out of the question they could win any of these remaining three games, but obviously at BYU, given how banged up BYU is, 2-4 in the league, a team you have more talent than them, and at this point a lot more depth than, you ought to go and get this one, make sure you're bowl eligible with six wins, and then you're, you know, you've got gravy and in number seven Texas and Kansas State, who is playing extremely good football right now.
Got about 90 seconds left, Rob. But, yeah, I mean, you point out there, BYU, Iowa State got a lot to play for tomorrow night, both sitting at 5-4. And Iowa State, with Texas and Kansas State left on the schedule, far from a gimme to say this team will reach six wins and bowl eligibility. So it seems to me like this is kind of maybe the bowl game before the bowl game, because you can't assume anything against the Longhorns or Wildcats.
Or really BYU in their place. At night, I think I saw the stat. I think Brent Bloom, one of my colleagues at Cyclone Fanatics, looked up the stat. And since 1999, they've lost three night games at home.
Wow.
And they play a fair amount of them, obviously. They're undefeated at home this season. Kind of quirky. Five takeaways to beat Texas Tech by 13. So they're turning teams over. They just don't have the kind of top-end talent, and especially at the second level in the two deeps. And that's what Iowa State should really be able to exploit. I think they'll be able to run the ball fairly well. I think they've got to unleash Rocco back to be a little bit more spread, be a little bit more play with a little bit more tempo. If they can do that and, you know, not give up a defensive touchdown, get back on the plus side of the turnover margin, I think the double-digit win on the road is very much in the offing, and then, you know, go from there.
Rob, as always, great to catch up with you. Great analysis and conversation. We'll look forward to following along with your coverage of Iowa State football and men's basketball. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Always great to talk to you, Cole.
Likewise, Rob. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. We'll come back on the other side. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. We'll talk week 11 of the college football season, week 10 of the NFL, and make our picks of the weekend. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Hawkeyes control their own destiny in the Big Ten West as they get set to host Rutgers. The Hawkeye run defense has shined in recent weeks, but the Rutgers combination of running back Kyle Manungai and quarterback Gavin Wimsett is averaging nearly 185 yards on the ground.
This is going to be a different challenge, though, because this back is a really good football player. He's got a million carries. You know, he's out there all the time. And then their quarterback's a really good run threat, too. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, is a big part of what they do. So, yeah, it's a little different dimension, a little different, division of labor, if you will, out there.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. It's a 2:40 kickoff in Kinnick Stadium. Iowa State needs a win to stay in the Big 12 title chase. The Cyclones visit BYU tomorrow night. That'll be a late 9:15 kickoff Iowa time. The UNI Panthers take a 5-1 Missouri Valley record on the road to Missouri State. Drake closes the home season against Presbyterian. This is Radio Iowa.
Hi, it's your friend, social media. You know where I showcase the cool life of strangers and friends? But don't fall for the editing and good lighting, because we all have struggles and challenges, like with alcohol or drug use, gambling, or our mental health. Talking about it is a sign of strength. Maybe you don't know who to talk to. Your Life Iowa can give you resources or treatment options. Get free 24/7 confidential support. Call, text, or chat online at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
The Cedar Falls School District is proud to announce their semifinalists in the 2024 National Merit Scholarship Program. Lucas Englund, Saria Kalala, Wesley Kitzman, Sai Pranav Koda, Edward Lynn, Elliot Purdom, Hayden Riley, Prom Sampat, and Abigail Slowinski. Asa Posey was named a National Merit Commended Student. About 95% of the semifinalists are expected to attain finalist standing, and approximately half of the finalists will win a National Merit Scholarship. To become a finalist, the semifinalist and a high school official must submit an application detailing the student's leadership abilities, service to the community, employment, and honors and awards received. A semifinalist must have an outstanding academic record, be recommended by a school official, write an essay, and earn stellar SAT or ACT scores.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
If you've been injured, you may wonder what are the benefits of hiring a personal injury attorney. At Ballkirk & Holm, our attorneys know how to protect your interests and keep you from being taken advantage of. After a personal injury, many auto insurance companies will contact you and try and get a recorded statement to box you into a story. Some insurance companies will call you and try and offer a quick settlement before your medical bills increase and you know the full extent of your injuries. Your own health insurance company may even contact you and try and take advantage of the situation, not paying the bills the way they should and increasing the cost to you. The attorneys at Ballkirk & Holm know all the insurance company tricks and how to stop them in their tracks. At the end of the day, it's all about the client's best interests, and we work to make sure you're treated fairly. Give us a call. There's no charge for a consultation, and if we accept your case, it's risk-free. We don't get paid a dime unless you win. For a free consultation, visit BallKirkHolm.com. Ballkirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert.
afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Week 10 of the NFL kicked off last night with my Chicago Bears taking care of the Carolina Panthers 16-13. It's week 11 of the college football season, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joining us now. I don't know any better place to start that the audience would have in high demand other than my Bears dispatching the Panthers last night. Pretty impressive stuff, if I don't say so myself.
Oh, yeah. It was if you want to watch, like, elite-level teams play each other, like, elite-level players all over the place, elite-level O-line play, everything you could look for in this game was there. And that's why we had such a barn-burning 16-13 game on our hands last night. I did think it was kind of funny, though. They were doing the whole the post-game thing with they go to the table after the game, they do their interviews. Tyson Bagent, God love him, but dude, 62 yards passing, zero touchdowns. Granted, didn't throw an interception, didn't get sacked, but player of the game, Tyson Bagent. Now, I didn't really expect to see in reality where a kid from a D2 school would end up beating not only a Heisman Trophy winner, but the number one overall pick in the draft. It is just a crazy reality in which we are living in right now.
Yeah, that's really something. There's really quite the conversation that can be had about that. This is not the time or place, as much as I would like to troll a little bit more. Your Bills are back in primetime this week on Monday Night Football against the Broncos, who have been playing a little bit better lately. Are we on upset alert here coming off the loss to the Bengals, Logan? Where are you at here mentally with your Bills?
Mentally, I was trying to stay away from this. My dad was kind of in this week-to-week mindset of it, but now I've reached that level. Now I'm sitting here like, you know what? They could lose every single game the rest of the year. That's not 100% realistic, but this portion that they're 5-4 through was supposed to be the quote-unquote easy part of the schedule, and now the remaining part of the season, you play in Philly, you play at Kansas City, you play the Cowboys, you play the Chargers. Lord knows you're getting with the latter two teams, but it's just a weird time. Now, if I was betting on this, I would just bet on another 24-18 game. It seems to be a common trend with the Buffalo Bills right now. The past two games have finished 24-18. But I don't know. I don't know. I didn't think we'd be here at this point. I did not envision a time in the start of the season where the Bills would have four losses and one of them would be to Zach Wilson, the other one would be to Mac Jones. The two-win Patriots. Like, I'm in a not fun place right now, but I can see the brighter side of things because I think this team is really talented. It's just a kind of a matter of time. We're just going to see how things go throughout the rest of the season.
All right, let's start talking college football. First game on the slate tomorrow as far as in-state teams, UNI kicks off at Missouri State. The Panthers 6-3, the Bears 3-6, a 2 p.m. kick at Robert W. Plaster Stadium in Springfield. With the Panthers coming off of a 56 win against Western Illinois, who knows how much you can really take from a game like that. Western Illinois is just dreadful. They're such a bad team. What do you think about the Panthers, Logan, who are, 5-1 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference right now? And if they win tomorrow, they'll be 7-3. Worst they can finish is 7-4. Tomorrow's win, I'll just say it. If it doesn't guarantee them an at-large playoff bid, then there's things that I would consider doing to the playoff committee that can't be said over the air.
Yeah, they're playing really well. That Western Illinois game was kind of like business as you expect. Like going against a team like Western Illinois, you go in there, you dispatch them, you leave. The O'Day and the starters get rested. You get to see Aiden Dunn a little bit. But that's the kind of game you were, expecting. Again, like you said, it's a really bad Western Illinois team. It was kind of fun seeing Matt Morrissey back, but apart from that, there was really nothing else to really – I don't know how much you can take away from it. I mean, they didn't do anything bad in this game, but in a game like that, you're expected to dominate. But Theo Day has looked really good. I know he statistically against Illinois State only had the one touchdown, one pick, but he made some great throws in that game. Obviously, looked good against North Dakota. Looked good last week. So if he can just keep carrying the momentum and the run game continues to improve, like if they can just keep doing that on offense, they could beat a lot of teams. That North Dakota State game, after watching some of the losses they've had this year, that especially especially being at home, being on senior day.
Yeah.
I don't want to look too far ahead, but that game's looking slowly a little bit more possible, I guess you could say. And beating Missouri State is definitely a way to start that off.
And here's the thing, Logan. If they take care of business tomorrow and they are able to get a win against North Dakota State, they will be 8-3, 7-1 in the toughest conference in the country. I don't know why they wouldn't get a top 8 seed, and in that case, that comes with that first round bye.
Mm-hmm. It's good resume building right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot still to play for the Panthers, and I'll just tell you quickly in terms of my two takeaways from the Western Illinois game was Ty Edwards, the running back, looked like he was 100% again. He really hit the hole hard against them, and I think that could be a massive development that you would have him 100% again, hitting the hole hard, and we know Amari Pesek-Hickson is healthy and doing that. The fact that those two look like they could be a two-headed monster in the backfield, I think is a massive development. And then I think that there was some trust gained by some guys further down the depth chart on their defensive line, and the Panthers are going to, you know, Coach Farley, Coach Johnson, are going to have some trust to roll some more guys out there on that D-line rotation. And you know, Logan, like the last thing, as a former college quarterback, the last thing you want to see late in a game is fresh legs on the defensive line running after you.
Yeah, there's been some games this season, too, throughout college football, where like an offense will make a sub, and then the defense will bring out their biggest defensive lineman and sub him and just bring in extra guys. So, like, they're just alternating subs. And that's not an easy feeling. You see those fresh legs on the defensive line, and their only goal is to get you. That is a terrifying feeling. So if they can keep doing that, they can definitely cause some problems at the end of the year.
Iowa Rutgers kicks off at 2:30 tomorrow. This is a big game for the Hawks because the Rutgers are good. They are 6-3. Iowa is 7-2. At this point, I don't know how anybody actually still watches Iowa. It is pure torture with respect to its defense and punter Torrey Taylor. But the floor is yours. What the hell do you got to say about this game?
I'll start with Rutgers. Rutgers, that score against Ohio State, obviously it shows they lost by double digits, but that game was close for quite a while. And then Ohio State kind of pulled away late, and you obviously got Marvin Harrison doing his thing in that game. But this Rutgers team, like you said, they're solid. They're solid. And this Iowa team, obviously we know the problems they have on offense, but the defense, they keep playing like they have. They can do a lot, obviously, against teams that like Rutgers, like Illinois, like Nebraska, teams they've got left. They can stifle some of these teams. I mean, that goal line stand against Northwestern was very impressive. I saw people reminiscing about the Syracuse game. They stopped him 7 times back in, like, 06. Like, this is a very impressive defensive stand by the team. And for Deacon Hill, who is putting it nicely, has not been great since being Iowa's quarterback. That's putting it as nicely as possible. But that was probably his best game at Iowa, was the Northwestern game. But he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. He did make a nice throw. So I think it was Noah Brown in that last drive of the game before Drew Stevens drilled the field goal. But yeah, they're not the most enjoyable team to watch. But I think they should be able to do enough to beat Rutgers.
Iowa State at BYU tomorrow night. BYU damn near unbeatable at home in night games going back for decades, Logan. But they haven't been playing their best football of late. Both of these teams right there. One more win gets them to bowl eligibility. I think this is like the bowl game before the bowl game because Iowa State has Texas at home and then has to go to Kansas State. That's what's left on the Cologne schedule. I think this is a huge game.
Yeah, especially with this being this deep-seated rivalry game too. Like, it's just that these two teams just don't like each other, Cole. That's the long of the short of it. But this is, like you said, Provo is an insanely tough place to play. It doesn't matter who you are. If you go into Provo, especially at night, you're lucky to come away with a win. Now, they haven't been playing their best recently, but their past two games have been on the road. So this game against Iowa State, hey, maybe this is their bounce-back game. I like Keaton Slovis, who they've got a quarterback. They're just not consistent. This is a problem they've had last year, too, when they had Jaron Hall and one of the Rookie of the Year candidates, Puka Nacua, on their team. They were very up and down at portions last year. So if they can get right, because that Texas game, they lost, 35-6. They had that game, but that wasn't as bad as the score suggests. They were in the red zone quite a bit in that game. But, yeah, this is a game for Iowa State. Coming off a rough loss against Kansas, not necessarily in, like, score-wise, but a lot of things to improve on, obviously an upsetting loss to Kansas. But there's some things to improve on. They can improve on those things going in, go into Provo, pull off a nice, nice little road dub, and the biggest rivalry in the Big 12.
All right, let's get to our picks of the weekend quickly. I got to say, Logan, when I looked at the board, it wasn't very pretty in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Nothing really jumped off the board at me this weekend, and it's interesting to hear you agree. I'd mentioned it at the top of the show. Prefacing the picks by saying that, I'll just rip off my three. You can follow with yours. I'll take UCLA minus 17 on the road at Arizona State. I'm sure I'll come to regret that. BYU, I think Iowa State could still win this game, but BYU is getting 8 points at home in a night game in Provo. I'm not going to not take that. And then finally, for some damn reason, I'll take Iowa to win by two. They're minus 1.5 against the Rutgers at Kinnick Stadium.
That Provo game's always tough. Getting eight, yeah, I would side with that one.
That feels like free money.
Yeah, yeah. But for this one, though, I did go different than the BYU game. I went with another big-time rivalry game. I went with Duke, North Carolina. Riley Leonard is not playing in this game. He's going to be out for a little bit with a toe injury. But North Carolina, they've had some weird games recently against Virginia and Georgia Tech. This game's at home, but Duke's defense is very solid. They're giving 13 to Duke. I'm going to take the Blue Devils covering. And then we got LSU, Florida. Florida's not great. They're coming off a loss to Arkansas last week, a two-win Arkansas team. LSU will have to see if Jaden Daniels is healthy enough to play, but his backup's a very solid player. We saw him in the SEC Championship game last year when Daniels got hurt. LSU's a 15-point favorite at home. Coming off a loss, I think they'll be able to cover that against Florida. And the final one, this is just for me and one of my friends. Cincinnati-Houston. Houston was my pick to finish last in the Big 12, and Cincinnati's kind of ruining that right now. So I need Cincinnati to beat Houston. Houston's a 3-point favorite. I'm going to go with the Bearcats over the Cougars in this one.
Great stuff, Logan. I got to run. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too.
I'm Colleen Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Bears get their third win of the season as they beat the Panthers 16-13 to kick off Week 10 on Thursday Night Football. Bryce Young struggled, throwing for just 185 yards. Panthers moved to 1-8 on the year. Justin Fields was inactive for a fourth straight game with a dislocated thumb. His replacement, Tyson Bagent, threw for 162 yards. In other news, Justin Jefferson met with reporters on Thursday and said he still isn't certain of when he'll be back. Jefferson said it's day to day. You can't really put a date on it at this very moment. The Vikings star wide receiver is on injured reserve with a hamstring injury. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray is set to return Sunday against the Falcons for the first time since suffering a torn ACL in 2022. Murray told reporters on Thursday he's emotionless and it's been a long, long 10 months. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Chicago Bears aren't very good. We know that. But that doesn't mean the team is heading in the wrong direction. After an ugly win over Carolina last night, Chicago now holds a sizable advantage at acquiring the number one overall pick. Bears fans can thank the Panthers for that after the team acquired Carolina's first-round pick in exchange for Bryce Young. But the Bears' promising future is much more than future draft picks. After the trade deadline, Chicago went all in to fix its pass rushing woes. They settled on defensive end Montez Sweat, shipping out an early second-round pick to acquire the Commanders' star defender. Through two games, looks like a great decision. He's made his presence known, certainly last night, generated 8 pressures, the most for the team since Robert Quinn in 2020, and now has 45 on the year. That ranks him inside the top 5 in pressures. So, while things may be ugly in Chicago at the moment, the future may not be all that bleak. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Worn-out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. What's your favorite part of Football Sunday? The weekend's biggest game? Tailgating? Maybe watch parties with family and friends? Of course not. Football Sundays are all about the food and nothing better than a King's Hawaiian Sliders Sunday. Whether it's the original Hawaiian sweet rolls, slider buns, or pretzel slider buns, soft, fluffy, irresistible, King's Hawaiian, delicious, and built to enjoy with friends and family. A King's Hawaiian Slider Sunday, the only way to enjoy Sunday. Go to the bakery or deli section of your local store and pick up King's Hawaiian and enjoy.
Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Got to thank Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for joining today's show. Great stuff from those two, as always. Coming up a little later tonight here on The Fan, less than an hour away from pregame coverage beginning of the Waterloo Blackhawks at Tri-City to take on the Storm. You'll get a second helping of Blackhawks at the Storm tomorrow night here on The Fan with a 5:45 pregame. Remember, you can always go to the website, 1650thefan.com, and see all of the live sports that are on all of our stations at that broadcast calendar. Just hover your mouse over the on-air tab on the homepage, click on broadcast calendar, boom, you're right there. Congratulations once again to Brad Schmidt and the Waterloo Columbus Catholic Sailor football team on an outstanding season. And congrats to Travis Ajak and the Grundy Center Spartans. Best of luck to them in the 1A championship game next Thursday. Have a great weekend, everybody. I am back on Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.